Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio. Blog Talk Radio.
The splendor of the King, glory, majesty, let all the earth rejoice, let all the earth rejoice. He wraps himself in light, darkness cries to hide, and tremble at his voice. Tremble at his voice. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Oh, we see our great. How great is our God. Age to age it stands. Time is in his hand, beginning and the end. Beginning, the end, the God has been one. Father, Spirit, Son, the Lion and the Lamb, the Lion and the Lamb. How great is our God, sing with me, how great. Saga, holy sea, a great saga. How great is saga? Sing with me, a great saga. Holy sea, a great. How great is our God. Sing with me, how great is our God. Holy sea, how great. How great is our God. our grace. It's our God, sing with me our praise. It's our God, all will see our grace. Our grace, it's our God. Our grace, it's our God. Sing with me our grace. It's our God. All will see our grace. Our grace is our God. Our grace is our God. Sing with me our grace. It's our God. All will see our grace. Our grace. It's our God, hallelujah, glory to the God. Our grace, it's our God, sing with me our grace. It's our God, all will see our grace. Our grace, it's our God.
Hi, this is Vicki Goforth Parnell. Hi, this is Vicki Goforth Parnell. And I have come to share a daydream, a vision with you. And I have laid it before the Lord whether or not to do this. But he has told me to release it, and I will release the parts that I can. There are some names he has told me to refrain from giving. So I will give what he has given me. And I am asking you lay it before the Lord. You seek the Lord and ask him for divine revelation and truth. Things, the Bible is spiritually discerned. Visions and dreams and words sometimes are clear and sometimes they are spiritually discerned. And sometimes they have multiple layers because God is multi-layered. You read his word and at one time it reads this and another time it opens up and you have more understanding. You receive another layer. That's the God we serve. That's the God we serve. And before I forget, Jill, the one who got me this beautiful cup, I have lost your address and I've been trying to find it. So if you could send me, if you have some way of sending it to me on our prayer email. It's prayer.865, my lovely Jesus. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. prayer.v.865, my Jesus, @gmail.com. If you could, or somebody that knows you, if you could just send me your information or a way I can get in contact with you, I feel like I need to have that. And I will go further with that, Lord willing, if we can make contact. All right. Before we start, I want us to pray. And let it be known, I am not here for you to like me. I'm here for you to hear what the Word says from the Lord. I don't claim to be nothing but a child of God, and I choose to walk in obedience to my Savior rather than bow to the words and wishes of man. And I say that in love. One of my daily prayers all throughout the day, Father, in Jesus' name, give me unconditional love for all people and forgiveness for all, like Jesus had and still has. Daily prayer. So let's pray. Father God, precious Savior, Father, I come in Jesus' name. I come boldly but humbly. I thank you, Father, for the privilege of being called daughter. I thank you for that unconditional love that you have for us and that you were willing to send your only Son for us so we could be saved, so we could be ransomed and we could be redeemed by that precious blood of Jesus, that all-powerful blood of Jesus, that blood that through that blood and that sacrifice defeated Satan and gave Jesus and you, Father, the ability to give Jesus that name above all name. Because it was through that blood that ability came forth when he defeated Satan and rose that third day victorious for us. And I am forever grateful. And I give you praise. I give you praise. Now, Father God, I ask in the name of Jesus that you would open the spiritual eyes of all people and the ears and their heart to the truth, and that the anointing would flow through and your words of truth would flow through, and that you would anoint me and I would not speak one word that's not of you. In Jesus' name. And I realize the power and the authority that I have as a child of God through Jesus, through the Holy Spirit, through your blood and your name, Jesus. Nothing of myself, but my right as an heir and joint heir to the kingdom of God. So I worship you and thank you for that, Lord, that my name is written in the Lamb's Book of Life, in your book, Jesus. My lovely, lovely, lovely Jesus, my lovely Jesus. So, Father God, I pray that you would send this word out on the four corners of the wind. Lord, yes, I know it's Christmas Eve here in America, that, Father God, the enemy comes to kill, steal, and destroy, and he never stops. And you have said to get this out. So, Father, I'm going to be obedient. I'm going to be obedient. I choose to walk in obedience before you than to bow to the whims and ways of man or their accusations, Father. Set my face like flint, like an adamant stone towards you, and let all these things run off like water running down a duck's back in Jesus' name, because you are good. And Lord, I pray that you hold these things not to these people's charge. Teach us, Lord, to love unconditionally. When somebody rises against us, let us realize it is the enemy within and not that person. When we do that and realize that the enemy within them that's fighting against us is a defeated foe, is Satan, it puts it in proper perspective. And I thank you for that. Now, Father God, I do realize that that Satan comes to kill, steal, and destroy, that he never stops. So, yes, in Jesus' name, I come against every assignment, every plot, every gin, which is a device and a snare, a trap, that comes, that is set for me, my family, all I love, and the viewers and the listeners, Father. Every plot, gin, snare, device, scheme, arrow, dart, fiery darts, Father God, I come against them. I lift the shield of faith, and I quench them in Jesus' name. Father God, you said to have precision prayer. You said no weapon formed against us shall prosper. Now, Father God, according to your word, in Psalms 91, no plague will come nigh our door. Those, and when you read, it's those that line up to your word of God. So if that's a physical, will not prosper. But Father God, you also said that we could quench the fiery darts of the devil. That's a spiritual. So Father God, no weapon formed against us shall prosper. And even in death, we are victorious because those of us that serve you passionately and love you, our hearts want to be with you, Jesus. Our hearts long to be with you. So if we are put to death, then we have what we have longed for all this time, to be forever in your presence. But while we are here, God, let us pick up our shield and our sword and march on this battlefield and fight the good fight of faith, because there's souls going to hell. And if we don't reach them, who will? If we sit down, how many are going to go to hell? If we fight and bicker, how many are going to go to hell? I don't want that blood on my hands, Lord. I want to reach all I can. So help me be obedient in all things and forgive all. Now, Father God, in the name of Jesus, these demons behind these attacks, I bind you in everlasting chains according to Jude 1:6. And in the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, I dip them in the blood of Jesus, because the blood is powerful and the blood is precious and the devil can't stand the blood. And Lord, let them be bound forever till their day of judgment. So they're not loose to come back on somebody else. So they're not loose to torment. So they're not loose to possess in the name of Jesus. And I crush them, their heads under my feet, as your word says I can do. Because greater things than this shall you do, you said in John. I stand on your word. Father, when I pray by standing on your holy word, which, by the way, is Jesus. Jesus is the word made flesh, and the word is forever settled. Jesus is forever settled. He's ever risen up, is ever stayed in heaven. No matter what happens to this word below here, this physical Bible word, which is precious, but whatever happens to it, it cannot change that Jesus is in heaven and that he will never change. He is forever and eternal, and he will see that his word gets to us because he is the word. So I give you praise, Father. I give you praise. And I cast these demons, entities, and whatever upon every satanic altar to be bound there, past, present, and future, so that when these people are praying, when these things are being done, they see and realize there is a God in heaven. There is a God in heaven, and they're on the losing side. And I ask this to be done, Father, in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now, Father, I ask that you bless the people. I ask that they find favor in your eyes. And, Lord, I ask that you create a hunger for your word, and a hunger to study and to learn, and a hunger to pursue you as passionately as you pursue us, in Jesus' name. And Lord, I ask that you would close our ears to the lies and the accusations of the deceiver, and that you would let your truth come forth, in Jesus' name, and let your will be done on earth as it is in heaven in all things. I give you praise, Lord. I give you praise this morning. I give you praise from the time I raise up my head to the time I lay it down. I give you praise. All right, this is the day dream vision that I had. 12/22/22 at 6:50 p.m. And today is 12/24/22. And it is titled, Hourglass of Grace Dream Vision. And the Lord told me to do something right now. So let me look it up for a moment. Bear with me. And I apologize that he just kind of, told me he wanted me to do this. And this came about while I was praying. I had been praying for a while and interceding for our world. And just asking the Father, what's your will? What's going on? Is there anything you want to tell me? I'm here for you, Lord. I'm here for whatever. And I make myself available for him. And so that's where we're at. This is called the Hourglass of Grace Dream Vision. Grace, in Christian belief, the free and unmerited favor of God as manifested in the salvation of sinners and the bestowing of blessings. The grace of God, the unmerited favor of God. All right, so I have been praying and said, Jesus, please show me, Jesus, tell me, reveal to me the truth of the why. And I've been praying and fasting about many things, and I can only share what you allow me. And he said, close your eyes, my sweet little warrior daughter, and I shall show you what is to come upon your once great nation. Putin rides in the clouds of sorrow, misery, and destruction. Close your eyes, yet open them spiritually. What do you see, my love? I see a great, tall, purplish-colored mountain, like a volcano, with snow atop of it. Also, that looks like red lava or fire on it. It is so, daughter. It is so. I see water, ocean water. Where is this? What else do you see, little warrior daughter? I see city lights. A city lies below it, some great distance. No, cities. Sprawling cities. I see a boat, a yellow-colored inflatable raft float. It's one of these blow-up rafts, but not like the commercial grade. With oar paddles. Wait, there's more similar in style, but they're black. Even the oars are a shiny black that are connected to the floating raft. There are several of them. They have motors, too. I know somehow that they make very little noise when they're running, but currently their above-board motors, are silent. They're not running. These are built for stealth, I feel in my spirit man. I see frogmen, people dressed in black rubber suits, solid black with the flipper-type shoes. They had air tanks on them, but now they have been discarded on the shoreline. The shore is a black, small, pebbly type of ground. Had some sand too, but not. It's more granular. What am I seeing, Jesus? There's 15 of them. And they are all shedding their water suits. They are not dressed in military attire like I assumed they would be. Instead, they are dressed as if attending a regal, fine event. I see a warm, blonde-headed lady in about her late 20s. 28 is the age flashing above her head, and now I see the name Donna R. I see a dark red-headed lady with shoulder-length hair. The color isn't bright in any way. The blonde-haired Donna has a slight tan tint to her skin with dark brown eyes. She is slender, yet I know somehow she's quick with her hands and feet. Excuse me. What am I seeing, Jesus? The future, daughter. The red-haired lady is fair-skinned, very pale. I see a name flash above her head, too, and it says Aubrey Hilm. These are the only two who stick out to me besides one of the males. All are dressed in black tuxedos, all the males, with white shirts. There's one man in particular who has medium brown hair that hangs with bangs in the front upon his face. He has the wide-rimmed glasses upon his face. They are black, with the thickness of the black rims being about an eighth inch wide. I see a building now. It's an old-looking tower of some sort, possibly a lighthouse from days gone by. The man with the glasses leads away from off the shores to the door of the building. It's locked. But wait, he has a key. He has produced a key. They're all inside now, but they don't turn on any lights. They rush around the room, closing what looks like wooden blinds that are vertical instead of horizontal. In the way they have been hung. They do this by using very small beam flashlights. Not all of them, but some. Instead of heading up the winding steps, I watch as two of the other men from the group of nicely dressed people stoop down and move aside an old, very large, heavy rug. Most, I assume, would never try to move it by themselves.
is very large. They cast the rug aside. As they do, I watch as another man with light, sandy, blonde hair locks the door they had just entered through from the inside. Jesus, what am I seeing? Watch, my daughter, watch. There's a door in the floor, but it's not the kind of lock I would have expected to see. It's totally digital. It's somehow electronic. The man with the glasses stoops down on his knees and punches in a code. 34701. The two men have moved the rug. That moved the rug motion everyone back a little just as a slight whooshing sound is heard and the door in the floor has opened to reveal steps. The man with the glasses, as he enters the stairway, reaches his hand and flips on a power switch. Suddenly the stairway is filled of light now. They have yet to say a word to one another. The man with glasses motions to the others to follow, and they do. Yes, sir. The two men who moved the rug are waiting to be the last to enter, giving them time to dust the dirt off their tuxedos. Excuse me. And I thank the lady that sent me the bag of tea. Very good, very good. I apologize right now. I can't remember the names. I have to look them up. Okay. They're inside the tunnel. It's carved out of dirt with thick wood beams bracing it on each side. They quickly descend the steps, all 15 of them. Jesus, what's going on? The truth is being revealed, daughter. Keep watching. I am. There is a long silver bullet-shaped vehicle I see. It's more like a silver slender transportation system. Or vehicle, more advanced in all ways from the controls to the seating than what's above ground. The door opens, more like glides, from side to side and not up and down. I am seeing the silver type vehicle that puts me in mind of a slender bullet that takes off with the 15 people as if running on lightning speed. No one speaks as they travel. I see no one driving. I understand then it doesn't need a driver because it's AI controlled. It has stopped. The bullet-style vehicle never seems to touch the ground, but rather glides across it or above it. There is a rather nice, massive white house with Grecian columns that puts me in mind of the Greek era, or more like our White House, above ground. They all unload except for two, although the door is left standing open. The two men lift up the seat cushion part to reveal a little hidden alcove. They open it. There are guns of some nature here that I don't recognize. I see. Now one is pulling out a clear glass-shaped hourglass, with the sand inside all on one side, except a very few fine granules of very little still flowing sand, only it all appears to be frozen in time. So it was an hourglass, and it had all come down to the bottom, but you could see a few little granules frozen before they hit the bottom. They each pick up a gun and tuck them inside their tuxedo jackets to where they will not be seen. One of them picks up the hourglass made of spun glass and carries it gently out of the bullet-type vehicle. The other man follows. They rejoin the other 13 of their group and all seem to know what the hourglass is and that the two men are now armed by the weapons they have acquired. What am I seeing, Jesus? The takedown of a nation, daughter, your nation of America. I notice now they are entering the white building with the Greek columns. Apparently, they are expected, for the door opens to them freely without me seeing anyone near it. Upon entering, I found they entered a grand room filled with people similarly dressed. It's like a party is going on, one I don't want to describe, in which demons, hybrids of both animals and people, and machines are joined together in various ways. This is satanic and vulgar. The music is odd but evil, chimes and frequencies, pitches that are full of pure evil. Upon seeing the glass hourglass with the frog with the frozen sand inside, the crowd lets out cheers, hoops, and hollers. Yet still, the people in the original group never make a sound. An occasional nod comes from the man with the black-rimmed glasses, who also has a brown mustache and beard with tan skin, to some nods to some people, and I felt he was acknowledging some in authority. The red-haired lady I see now has blue eyes, dark blue eyes. She's the one named Aubrey. The crowd of 15 people walk to the door. The man holding the glass hourglass with the frozen sand inside it hands it over to the man with the glasses, who takes it with ease. Even though I sense it's heavy, spun glass, weighted glass, I feel. I hear spun, weighted glass in my spirit is what it's made of. The man lifts the hourglass to the door, which slides open immediately. The room is full of more people, swaying and standing, but they're not dancing. They're swaying to a chant. They're all chanting, and it's not a language I know. Yet I feel it's one of ancient origin. It makes my skin crawl. Jesus, please, what's going on? No answer came. I just want to know the truth. Yes, daughter, I know. Now watch, and the answer will be revealed to you shortly. I'm watching. I see. The room has been darkened except for a light shining upon a stage. No, two lights I now see, pointing to the middle of the stage where now I notice a single podium there. It's a grand podium, yet small. It reminds me of the podium that our President of America stands behind when making an outside speech. But instead of a presidential seal, there is another symbol on it. It looks like a gold medal seal with pointed edges that remind me of a Reese cup edge. I don't know how to describe it, sorry. In the center of the round golden seal is a goat's head with large curved horns. All solid gold, I know. The eyes of the goat are black. There are ancient symbols upon it, with the rest of the podium being dark navy blue. The podium is flat and smooth on top with nothing sitting on it. I watch as a man with the glasses, followed by the other 14 people of his group, start toward the stage. A man meets them halfway. I can't see his face. Jesus, let me see his face. I can't see his face. Father God, in Jesus' name, why can't I see his face? I see as if a black shadow is removed and his face comes into focus. I can't say his name. A very powerful man in my country, a king in his own right. He grabs the man with the glasses by the left shoulder, then begins guiding him through the still swaying crowd. They're still chanting. But upon seeing the glass hourglass, they parted for them to all walk through, unhindered. When the group gets to the edge of the stage, with the podium, the powerful man of our country, America, takes the hourglass from the other man's hand. He relinquished it to him quickly. The man of power raises the hourglass high into the air, and the chanting and swaying reaches a frenzy pitch. Jesus, Jesus, I don't like this. You're okay, daughter. You are okay. I watch as the U.S. man of power ascends up the stage from a left side set of steps. He walks smugly, arrogantly, to the center of the stage, then places the hourglass upon the podium. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. As soon as he does, everyone becomes still and silent. Evil is present here. I feel great evil. He bows to the crowd, then walks off the stage, going down to the right side steps. There is an air of expectancy as people watch the stage. The lights are now red, shining against the solid black curtains hanging behind the podium. Now I see flags, medium-sized flags of every nation, of our world, on small, round, narrow flagpoles, but they are floating behind the podium, forming an arch. Jesus, what's going on? Suddenly before my eyes stand, on the stage a lone figure dressed in solid black from head to toe. Upon his head sits a goat's head I have seen before in a dream, wearing a very regal but gaudy crown. Oh no, Jesus, this man is the Antichrist. How did he appear without warning? I didn't see him enter. The demon inside him now is very powerful. The demon Abaddon, as well as others, he has given him the power to do so through deception. What's he doing? Listen and watch, daughter. I watch as a goat-masked man walks forward to the podium. The crowd seemed to grow quieter, if that is possible. Children, our time has come, the goat-headed man yells out, and his voice echoes mightily across the whole expanse of the large room, easily. It's evil. The voice is evil, and it's the same as in the other dream and visions I have had of him. My body shudders at the evil in the room, yet I don't have any fear. Thank you, Jesus, for your protection. You are welcome, my daughter. The man is speaking. Our time has finally come, and the time of the Nazarene is over. He picks up the heavy glass hourglass easily with one hand and then says, "The sands of grace given to the world above in honor of the prayers of the Nazarene praying saints that has frozen time as you see here." He lifts the glass hourglass even higher and then continues, "But now with both hands for all to see it clearly. It is now officially over as commanded by heaven's courts. It's officially over on command of heaven's courts. Jesus, daughter, please listen and watch. I'm looking again at the man on the stage, still wearing the goat's head mask. Our time has come, fully come, when the last remaining grains of sand pour out, then it's over for him. I see now upon closer observation that even though all the sand is in one side of the hourglass, some were dropping when frozen in air, mid-air, only a few granules of sand that have yet to hit the bottom. As he's speaking, I see the sand begin moving inside, and they hit the bottom. I hear Antichrist give a triumphant laugh and yells out, "My children, it's over. The time, the period of the extended grace has expired, and upon orders that were passed down to Lucifer, our father, from heaven's court, no more is to be given. Children, this is the hourglass of grace." He lets out a string of filthy words about my lovely Jesus. Then he says, "This is what I think about your pitiful grace." He forcefully throws the glass hourglass to the floor, and it shatters into what seems like a trillion pieces, too many really to count. "Here's what hell's forces think about your grace. Now no more can be granted to your world above, except for a few pitiful souls you may still be able to reach if I don't reach them first, Nazarene. Jesus, what just happened? I see it all. Why did he shatter the grace hourglass? Little daughter, I have warned you often that the time of grace had expired for your world, and the time would be extended, would not be given anymore. But why did he have the hourglass instead of you? Satan, even knowing I am untainted by his sin, deceived himself into believing I would not keep the commands of heaven's courts. And knowing how Father and I are moved by our love for our children would grant more grace time. He is gravely mistaken. Nevertheless, he petitioned to heaven's courts to be given the hourglass of grace and to be the one to see to its destruction. I still don't understand why I'm seeing this as my answer to my original question, Jesus. Because extended grace and mercy is what froze the sands of grace, and while still frozen, Antichrist could go no further in his ascension to full power above the earth's ground, its soil. I'm watching as the first man of power from the U.S. comes back from the left side on the stage again. He is carrying something in his hand. It looks like a tube of some sort. It's smooth but has a color of dull gold upon it, adorned also by colors of red and turquoise near each end. Excuse me. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the tea. The ends are elaborately carved with golden, ghoulish faces. One side is flat. The other is rounded with a loop on top where a dark red silk tassel is attached to it. I see. Finest pure silk above the tassel. The U.S. man of power, who is a king in his own right, hands it to the goat-headed man and bows slightly to him. I think I shall be sick. The man stands on the right hand of the Antichrist, who takes the tube triumphantly and opens the rounded end with the loop. It screws off. The crowd is still silent, as if in reverent awe of the goat-headed man's action. It's not easy to see, I'm sorry. And his very movements. He sets the top of the tube on the podium, then tips the tube over into his other hand. The tube is hollow because I hear something sliding to the bottom and into his hand. He casts the tube to the floor, then holds up a grotesque-looking key. I see someone coming up the right side of the stage stairs, but he's in the shadows. Jesus, who is it? The man begins walking toward the goat-headed masked man. Oh, God, it's Vladimir Putin. What's he doing here? What are they all here for? Putin is also in black and has reached Antichrist who's still wearing his mask. Antichrist turns toward Putin and clasps him on the arm, the key still in his hand, as if he were welcoming a dear friend. Welcome. Welcome, Vladimir. Putin bows his head in reverence slightly. I watched there as a goat-headed Antichrist holds the key out to Putin, who takes it triumphantly. What kind of key is this, Jesus? What does it unlock? Daughter, it unlocks the restraints holding back war upon your nation. I don't understand, Jesus. I don't, so please help me. How does that tell me the truth? I watch as Antichrist turns to face the crowd with Putin by his left hand and the powerful man of the U.S. on his right. The crowd erupts into shouts and cheers, and that's when I'm looking. Like, Antichrist is here. Vladimir Putin is here, and the man from America is on, you know, his right arm, right facing when I'm looking. Okay, not when I'm right facing, but the actual right arm and left arm of Antichrist. I'm sorry about that. It is, I watch as Antichrist turns to face the crowd with Putin by his left hand and the U.S. powerful man of the U.S. on his right. The crowd erupts into shouts and cheers, and I hear, war, 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 being chanted, and death to the Nazarene and his offspring. And now it's gone. The vision, the dream is gone. When does this take place, Jesus, and can it be stopped? No, it's on orders of heaven's court. Surely not everything shall be done in the shadows, but has to be brought to light. For your words to be spoken through me and others, does it not? Yes, my daughter, my love, it does. It does. But how, Jesus, how does war happen when there's no evidence of some things of your words being fulfilled? How do you receive any glory this way? I will be glorified in all things, daughter. You just don't see it now. Well, help me to do so then. What's happened, Father? What's happened with our extended grace, our grace period once granted, now gone? Putin fires. At who? You, daughter. But when? Excuse me. He's talking about this one man. I can't say nothing about that. Okay. What exactly does this mean? War has already started in your world. It brings with it judgment. I still don't understand it all, Lord. Lord, did this begin before we had finished talking? Or is it still coming? It was just moments ahead of reality. All you have witnessed now has finished occurring while we conversed. Thank you, Jesus, my love. Thank you. You are welcome, sweet child. And I didn't pursue it any further. I just felt like he was done talking. So, and I'm praying more. Yes, I am. Here are the verses. Exodus 33:19. Ecclesiastes 3:1-9. Revelations 9:13. Romans 9:15-18. Daniel 12:21-22. Proverbs 8:15-16. Psalms 28:4-9. Job 34:21-22. Psalms 2:2-5. Psalms 75:6-7. And Luke 8:17. And I'm supposed to give you the definition of a grace period. A period officially allowed for payments of a sum due or for compliance with a law or condition, especially an extended period granted as a special favor. And I have three bullet points. Number one, the hourglass of grace sand was the allotted time of the grace period our world had been given. Satan petitioning and asking the courts of heaven, asking God, to have the legal right to be the one to destroy the hourglass of time shows he knows the legal system in heaven set up by God, and nothing can be done without God's consent. We also know that he does have to obey God by reading Job 1:6-12 and Job 2:1-6, and he knows the legal system. Satan requested or petitioned God to be able to test Job. God agreed, but only on his terms and conditions. Those of heaven's courts established by God's holy ways and laws of righteousness and justice. He can only do what God allows him. He's not all powerful. Our God in heaven is. Jesus Christ is. And we have that power, his spirit, the Holy Spirit in us. And then number three, there were many well-known people, famous, high-ranking and powerful here in this crowd, with many I have seen before in other dreams and visions. The coronation dream of Antichrist, yes, many of them were here. Please pray about it. And just because it's a holiday season here in America and in other places does not mean Satan is let up one bit. Enjoy your time with the family. Spend this time seeking the Lord, but just because it's a holiday season does not mean you as a Christian are on holiday. So, be instant in season and out. Follow the leading of the Holy Spirit. Don't be afraid to speak out when the Holy Spirit tells you to. We're in the end times, and your words may be the last words somebody hears. Reach for the lost. Reach for the lost. And if you don't have a burden for lost, and when I say lost, not just your own, all the lost. How many of you have been crying over the homeless out in the cold? If you don't have a heart of compassion, search your heart. The Holy Spirit search you because Jesus is full of compassion and love. Even in his judgment, it's done out of love. So from Tennessee, God bless. Stay under the blood. No, I'm praying for you, and I ask you to pray for me.
Dream that I had in the beginning of 2021 about the Great Tribulation and the Rapture. My dream started off where I was in a shopping mall, and it was during the holidays. Everything had seemed perfectly normal. I all of a sudden had the desire to call my parents to ask if they were okay. At that moment, all of a sudden, I heard a very strange sound similar to the trumpets, and then I looked right into the sky. I did notice that there were other people who were looking up to the sky as well. I then saw an intense white light and many angels that were in the shape of a circle. The people went into complete panic and many disappeared in the rapture. The people began to run aimlessly due to fear. When that light disappeared, I had knew that Jesus had taken his chosen ones to heaven, and I was given a glimpse into the Great Tribulation. Immediately after the rapture, a group of armed forces, helicopters, tanks, and soldiers dressed in black appeared around that area. And in my mind, a voice told me that this was an evil army that was waiting for this moment to attack. And they had very advanced technology, which allowed to identify who was a Christian and who was not. Fleeing from that place, I then decided to call and communicate with my relatives, but all the networks were completely blocked and there was no electricity. Last night at exactly 4:30 a.m., I had a dream. I was tossing and turning all night, half asleep. The dream itself was light because I wasn't fully asleep. All of a sudden, I am no longer dreaming. I am in a real world, an open vision. I was transported to the bed of my truck outside of my house, and I was laying down in the bed looking up at the sky. There were zero clouds in the air. I began to see a shooting star, and then another, and another, and then it began to look like a meteor shower. And I then said to myself, a meteor shower at 6 a.m.? This has to be the rapture. I began to remember that the Bible says that the devil will be cast out of heaven in the last days. With each meteor, I verbalized, there goes another demon, and quickly the entire sky filled with meteors falling to the ground, and in the middle was like a spinning opening with strange colors and a ball of light. I felt like my body all of a sudden got yanked into the air, my head jerking as it was with so much force. And I yelled out twice, thank you, Jesus, Yeshua. Shortly after that, I felt my spirit being lowered back to my body that was numb and was instantly awake. And I looked at the clock and it said 4:31. The next one was a shorter version. I saw a bright light. And again, I felt my body being snatched up forcefully. I knew it was the rapture, but saw nothing else. Please tell everyone that it is almost time. It makes me happy to know that the Lord still remembers and loves me. I hope all is well. Your brother in Christ, Jace. If you can, please share this dream on your channel. My dream started off where it was a cloudy day and I was in a car. I then heard a trumpet blasting and a voice saying, "You have been counted worthy." I also remember the voice saying something about a wedding feast. And then I heard the word, "Rise." There was this bright light that was above the car, and I was wondering why I could hear the trumpet and the other person could not. It was also confirmed by another believer that since this was the second night I've had a dream like this, it was given to me this verse. Hello everyone, I had a dream that I would like to share. In my dream, I was outside, not sure the area, but I looked up and I said to a friend, "Look, I could see writing in the sky, and that writing was written in Hebrew. And behind the writing, there was a light." I turned around to ask my husband for my mobile phone so I could take a picture, but the writing was fading away very fast. It occurred again when my friend was running, shouting loud in Hebrew. The writing in the sky said Adonai. At the time, it baffled me what it meant, but I did write it in my journal book. I am here in Australia. May God bless you all. Your sister in Christ, Rosemary. I had this dream early Sunday morning on October 9th of 2022, and I wanted to share it with the channel family. I was in a large city with tall buildings, and there was chaos everywhere. People were screaming, and they had nowhere to run. I then noticed that there were two large black holes that appeared in the city. Out of the black holes, two large tornadoes appeared. There was nowhere to escape to safety. In Keith's email, it says, "Hello. My name is Keith and I recently discovered your channel about 2 months ago. It has been so encouraging to see how the Lord is preparing and strengthening His people during these days. I want to share this rapture dream I recently had with you as I've rededicated my life back to Christ and He has been moving mightily in my life. May He get all the glory." This dream occurred on August 15th. In the dream, I was standing with a bunch of people in a public space, and in the dream, I was given spiritual knowledge that these were religious leaders next to us while we were standing around. While we were standing around, all of a sudden, there was this convergence. I just said in my spirit, "Oh my God, time's up." And I looked up at the person who was next to me, and then at my own hand, my spirit started leaving my body. It was happening slowly, and I began to worship Jesus, thanking Him and lifting my hands up. As I was doing so, something started to grab my leg to pull me down, and I could tell it was a dark presence.
I just said no, and I kept worshiping the Lord and slowly rising higher. At this time, I could see the people down below, and they were so terrified and mortified. They were sprinting full tilt, trying to find a place to hide. As I was ascending, I began to shout, "Repent, repent." But you could see the horror on their faces. They were just trying to hide from what was about to happen. Eventually, the Lord set us down in this other place. There were only a few of us there. We were all just worshiping the Lord and thanking Him. The feeling of being caught up with the Lord was so blissful. There were only a few of us that were saved, though. I saw a person I knew, and I was like, "Oh my God, you made it," and we embraced. The move was so blissful, but somber at the same time, because we had seen a lot of sheer chaos, panic, and hopelessness that the people left behind were experiencing. It was terrible. The Lord's return is so close. I hope that this dream will encourage any brothers and sisters in Christ to stay strong in Him as His coming draws near. Thank you so much, Keith, for emailing in your rapture dream experience to the channel. The next rapture dream I am about to share with you was emailed in by our sister in Christ, Valeria, and in her email it says, "Hello, and thank you so much for allowing me to share my dream to the channel. By you sharing everyone's dreams is such a blessing. This is one of many that was so clear and realistic for me. My dream started off as I was suddenly in my home and I was in my front yard. As I am looking around in a speechless state, all of a sudden, I see this giant foot in sandals, which steps in front of me as I'm looking up. He was giant. I was shorter than the height of his foot, and he was wearing layers of robes. He also had white hair. He was walking, and as he looked back towards me, his eyes were pure white. He looked serious, and he was walking and heading to what looked like a battle zone. As I was watching him walk towards the war zone, I floated up into the sky. As I looked towards him, I then saw meteors hitting the earth. At this moment, I'm in the clouds looking down. As I look down, I then see tanks and people fighting. If I am in the clouds, it's peaceful, beautiful, and quiet. But when the cloud passes and I look down, all I see is war. I then turned a 180, and to my left, I see Jesus on a white horse. He's wearing a white robe with a red sash across his chest. He's wearing a beautiful big crown, and when I am in his presence close to him, and he turns his head, he looks directly at me. His eyes were pure white. The light overtook his entire face. His eyes were pure light, and the light overtook him. Then I see behind him thousands upon thousands of soldiers right behind him in gold armor, on horses, with armor. I am completely speechless. Then all of a sudden, I'm in space looking down on the earth. As I look around, I am suddenly in a white cylinder with seats inside. As I look around, it goes in and out in transparency. I see earth and the stars as I further move, and then I look around, and all of a sudden, I wake up. All the glory to God. He is merciful and so loving. Thank you all so much for watching. Valeria.
I had a dream that I was given a glimpse into the Great Tribulation period. My dream started off where I was standing directly in front of a housing community where I live. And as I looked around, there wasn't much light anywhere. It was very, very dark. But I decided to venture out and see what was happening outside of where I live in other parts of the city. As I left, I then noticed a guy who was face down on the ground, and it looked like he was in trouble. As I walked further on, I then noticed that there was a lady who was in trouble, but she had her purse that had just been stolen, and I could see that there was a guy that was running away from her with her purse, but I was able to intervene and help her to get her purse back. But it was really a close call because many things were happening. As I walked further, I then saw a drug deal being done and money was exchanged. As I walked further, I then felt a presence behind me, somebody that kept getting closer and closer to me as I was walking further and further. As I turned around to look at this person, he seemed extremely evil, and he didn't even seem like a human, almost like somebody who was possessed by something very evil. He then spoke to me, and he said to me, "You don't belong here. What are you doing here? You need to leave." And I instantly knew that I didn't belong there, that I was only there because the Lord wanted me to get a glimpse as to what was going to happen and to be able to share it with others. I then continued walking, and the next thing I saw was a vision. And in this vision, I saw an evil-looking hand. The hand was very dark with these really, really long nails, and the hand began to turn this dial. I didn't know what this dial was, but as I saw it turn around, I then saw that these frequencies and these lights began to come off as it was being turned, and people who were in the street, as I saw from a distance, began to act very, very frantic. They were making weird jerks, walking very strange, as if this dial was controlling them. It is something that I will never forget, including this dream, because when I woke up, it felt so real. I felt as if I had actually lived and seen everything that had taken place in my dream. In the email, it says, "This dream came from my Christian friend Charlie. Charlie was severely disabled in a motorcycle accident many years ago. I always try to help him when I can. Charlie and I just started a fast. He said God was nudging him to do a week-long fast. Unknowingly, I was also on planning a 5-day Daniel fast, so I contacted Charlie to see if he wanted to join us. He jumped at the opportunity and was very enthusiastic about seeking the Lord. So the very first night of the fast, God gave Charlie a very scary and sobering tribulation dream. This is what Charlie told me this morning. The night of the dream, Charlie said his dream was very real and very vivid. It happened in our suburb of Ohio. He said he was in a condominium complex. He said everything had completely changed in society and people were being controlled. He said people were being moved and transported to different places all over. He said food, goods, and supplies were very scarce. He then told me that he saw armed militias that were roaming the streets and neighborhoods to move people. He said the militia people were breaking into homes to take food, batteries, and anything else that they could. Charlie said that in his dream, he then saw his car and he was trying to hide food and batteries inside of his car seats so that they would not find it nor steal it. Charlie said that he was very scared in this dream and he remembers trying to hide from people so that they could not find him nor move him to another location. Charlie said that when he woke up, he was so relieved and it was just a dream, but said his heart was still racing. Charlie said, wow, the very beginning of this fast and I just woke up from a dream of the end times. This dream was so very real, vivid, and scary for him. Please share. Your brother in Christ, James. Thank you so much, James, for sharing our brother in Christ, Charlie's very vivid and detailed dream about the tribulation. And thank you, Charlie, for sharing this tribulation dream with the channel. I had this dream in February of 2021. I had asked God to give me a dream, and when I woke up about 3 a.m. in the morning, I asked God to reveal something to me, anything. My dream had started off where I was in this warehouse, and in this warehouse, I noticed that there were metal steps that led up to this platform, and I walked up those steps. As I walked up those steps, I then noticed myself telling people to get ready that Jesus was coming. Then all of a sudden, I noticed that there were about 10 people left that were listening and agreeing to what I had said. Then all of a sudden, I woke up. I asked God what the dream had meant. He said, "You can tell many people about me, but only a few will hear." From your sister in Christ, Rita. My dream had started off when I was walking outside. As I was walking outside, I all of a sudden saw this woman that was looking up to the sky. And as she was looking up to the sky, she was smiling. I then looked up and I saw the brightest light that I had ever seen. It was engulfing all of the earth. I then raised my hands up in complete peace and joy, and I was covered and was not harmed. I also had another dream that was similar yet very different. And in this dream, I went outside again and I heard this woman and she was yelling, "It's going to get hotter and hotter." I personally feel that the Most High was telling what will happen to the righteous and the unrighteous at His coming. Righteous will be untouched and unafraid, but the wicked will be burnt to stubble and afraid. Thank you for reading my dreams. Your sister in Christ, Laura. I want to share with my brothers and sisters in Christ some amazing pictures from this year that I took right after Christmas. I was depressed and was talking to Jesus all day. I kept asking if he would show himself to me because I really needed it. I took this picture of the sun through the window because it was so pretty, and a couple of days later, something told me to look at it again. I immediately saw Jesus in the window. He's on the bottom in the second column. You can see his eye, his eyebrow, his shoulder, his mustache, and long hair. Both are the same picture, and the second one is zoomed in. Thanks so much, everyone, for looking. Your brother in Christ, Paul. The vision that I'm going to share with you was from June 2nd of 2022. I had woken up, but was not fully awake. I felt as though I was coming back to my body, and I felt as if I was being shown a book. But it was like watching a movie at a movie theater. I remember the last two pages were being flipped on this particular screen, but it moved like similar to a cell phone screen being swiped. But the way it moved was so different, and I can't even explain with words how it moved back to the left and the side of the screen. I only remember seeing one page having a picture, and it was a silhouette of a man's head. I was given scripture, Ezekiel 33, and as I was reading, he emphasized on the verse 33 at the end. Amber, the Lord is telling us to warn his people, and I am certain that the Lord will bless you abundantly for sharing our visions with so many brothers and sisters in Christ. God bless you, sister in Christ. We will be flying soon. I do want to add this one last thing. Last Monday, I was walking into Sam's Club, and as I looked up, I saw this screen in the sky long enough to realize it. Then there it disappeared. It was a green color screen, but unlike any green I have ever seen before. I know it sounds very crazy, but this is true. Hello, brothers and sisters in Christ. On the 19th of June of 2022, I had a dream around 3:20 a.m. The dream started off where I was actually in a public place, and as I was looking, I saw a tall man who was holding a small piece of paper in his hand, very high, with numbers written on this paper. It seemed to me like it was a calendar, and I told the man to show me the paper, but still he was holding his hand high up and I could not reach. Then a lady behind me clearly said number 40 on this paper, and I started pulling this orange rope from the wall, and the tall man said to me, "Do not stretch it," and I pulled and pushed the rope back onto the wall, and the dream had ended. From Sunday 19th of 2022, I added 40 days. The result is Friday, July 29th, 2022. This dream came to me at the end of 2021. This dream had started off with the ground that was shaking underneath my feet. Then I was in the back of my son's truck as we were running, or as I should say, escaping. As we were driving the truck, it finally came to a stop. I then looked at the sky and a huge hand wrote, "I am coming," not "I am coming soon," only "I am coming." The truck began to roll again, then huge, beautiful letters, glowing letters, as big as the trees, moved faster than the truck. I looked and read quickly and saw God's words moving across the earth, and his word has gone forth. Then I had woken up. In the last 2 weeks, I have had two rapture dreams, the first being 2 weeks ago. I had stood and saw really strong winds that were blowing around cars. Suddenly, I was snatched into the air very fast, like a rocket, going up into the sky. The second dream was last Tuesday, where I was all of a sudden looking up and saw planets that were lining up. Then suddenly, I was taken into the air. I remember moving so fast, I was hanging on to someone, but I couldn't see their face. I do know others have had this dream. I feel that the Lord is saying He is coming very soon. Love and blessings from your sister in Christ, Sue. I wanted to take a moment to share with you what has happened to me. I worked the night shift and was sleeping during the day. I was awakened several times with the number 365 on my mind. A few times it was as if someone was repeating the number 365 over and over in my head. After this happened several times, I finally got up on the side of my bed and looked up the number 365. I found that Enoch in the book of Genesis, see Genesis 5:23-24, was 365 years old when he was raptured, and the phrase "fear not" is used 365 times in the Bible. I am guessing that the 365 message was meant to tell me and us that the rapture is coming and to fear not. Everyone, know that Jesus loves you. He died for your sins and He is coming back to gather His church in the sky. Love in Christ, your brother Timothy. The Lord had gave me this dream, and the dream began with me as I was laying on my bed facing towards the wall, and I was on my phone when all of a sudden I looked up and saw this thin layer of light from a distance from my bedroom window, and it looked like a tornado. Even though we don't get tornadoes that often here in the UK, I was shocked at what I was seeing. I felt really calm about the situation, and then all of a sudden, I looked more in the sky and saw a gap in the clouds. It was opening up and a light was shining right through it. It was brighter than any light I had ever seen. I didn't see Jesus because of the clouds that were blocking the view from Him, but then I heard a loud explosion a bit further away from this thin light from earlier. And then I saw small beams of light going up from houses around me in my street. I then started to pray and felt myself starting to lift up and rise to meet the Lord in the air. And then I woke up. Thank you, Amber, for taking the time to read this rapture dream. This is a warning for people that don't believe, because this will happen one day very soon. Your brother in Christ, Jamie. I want to share with you a dream that I had very recently, but I do believe it is indeed tied in with the end times. And in this dream, it started off with me getting ready to get married. I have never had a dream quite like this before, and I wanted to share it with you. I remembered seeing myself getting ready to get married and the excitement that went along with it. I had a beautiful long white dress on, and I had this beautiful veil. I also remember that I had a crown with so many beautiful diamonds, and I was so excited for that day. In my dream, I did not know who I was going to be marrying, but it made a lot of sense when I woke up, because I know that we are indeed the bride of Christ and that Yeshua is coming very soon and that we will be with Him for eternity as His bride. I hope that this indeed gives you much encouragement to keep looking up, for our redemption draws nigh. Hello, my name is Cody, and I had a rapture dream on April 8th of 2022. On the night of April 8th, I was in a car riding somewhere, and I wasn't sure where we were going. It was late at night outside, nearly pitch black dark outside. Then all of a sudden, Christ and God the Father appeared in the sky. It was truly amazing. I could clearly see how God the Father and the Son looked like. It all matched up with Scripture. Revelation 1:14 through 15. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were of the flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. When he and the Father were in the skies turned from dark to pure light. It was truly amazing, and as I was praising him, he picked me up, and I flew fast into the skies. Shortly after this experience, I had woke up. It was truly an amazing and very vivid dream. It's almost time to go home. Lately, I have been having dreams more frequently, which means he is truly coming very soon. God bless you all, your brother in Christ, Cody. Greetings to all my brothers and sisters in Christ. In my dream, I was seeing a beautiful sunny day and an open field. I knew that there was a tornado that was coming. As I looked up to the sky, I noticed that there were strange things that were occurring. But everyone was getting so excited because we knew that we were seeing a sign that Jesus was coming right away. And I had the impression that he was coming that same day. In the next scene of my dream, it ended with me and a bunch of other people that were riding a bus. And we were praising God because we were going to see him soon. I think that we might not know the day nor the hour until that day finally arrives. Maybe the Lord wants to show us the day if we are attentive. God bless you all, your brother in Christ, Lance. Hello everyone, my name is Tracy, and over the past few days I have been having visions. God has shown me the rapture in my vision. In my vision, to the right, there were trees along a mountain. The sky was then all lit up in white. That same light was also touching the earth. Jesus was standing in that white light, wearing a long robe with his arms outstretched, welcoming in his children. Everyone entering this light were souls of pure white. I then saw as the souls entered this light, and I heard the word, warriors. I then saw in my vision a street, soldiers wearing black boots with guns over their right shoulders and were walking the opposite direction of this light. At the end of this street, it then broke out into a black pit. These were the devil's soldiers. They just kept walking off this road and into this pit, hundreds at a time. and this was all of my vision. I truly hope that you can share this message to the world. Your sister in Christ, Tracy. On Thursday, February 3rd of 2022, I had a very vivid dream that I would like to share with each and every one of you. Now, I don't have rapture dreams all the time, but when I do, they tend to be very vivid. And on the evening of this night, this dream was extremely vivid and did have a message in it. As I laid in bed praying for my family, along with all of you here as a part of our channel family, I fell into a very deep sleep. And I do remember my dream started off like a normal day. It was beautiful out. People were going about their everyday routine. Then all of a sudden, I remembered that the scene quickly changed and I started seeing people from all walks of life walking around in this particular area. And there were quite a few people. It looked like they were maybe with family and friends. People seemed really happy with one another. Nothing really seemed out of place. Then all of a sudden, I started looking up into the sky and I started seeing that the clouds were quickly rolling into this beautiful sunny day. And as I'm glaring and glaring more and more into the sky, I noticed that this beautiful light started illuminating from within the clouds. Then all of a sudden, I saw Jesus coming through the clouds and his light became brighter and brighter as he was in the clouds. It was absolutely beautiful. I was saying to myself, this is it. This is it. The rapture is happening right now. Oh my gosh, what a beautiful experience. Then I all of a sudden had this urgency to reach out to anybody that I saw around me. And I was telling them, look up. Do you see him? He's here. Jesus, he's in the sky. Look, look up. He's there. As I'm telling people to look up, they did not see him whatsoever. They looked very confused and did not know what was going on. Then all of a sudden, I felt my body instantly lifted up into the air. And as I'm instantly being lifted up into the air, I just felt this instant calmness. I felt joy. I was so happy that I was soon going to be reunited with our Lord and Savior. I also had this instant knowing that my brothers and sisters in Christ were all around me and that we were all being lifted up together as one. It felt so amazing. I really thought that the rapture was taking place in this dream. Then all of a sudden, I remember feeling my body passing through the sky all the way into deep space. I then remember being placed in this absolutely beautiful garden. And when I say this place was absolutely beautiful, I mean it was beautiful. All the colors were so vivid, so bright, and so colorful. The green was brighter than I've ever seen it before. Even some of the colors I had never recognized. It was so amazing. I was so excited to start exploring in my dream because I really wanted to see what heaven was like and be able to be there with everyone along with our Lord and Savior. As I looked up, the trees were so alive. I could see them moving as if they were dancing. I mean, the whole experience was so unforgettable. I just can't get over how everything around me seemed so alive. As this beautiful experience started to fade out in my dream, I started getting visions of things that were going to happen while I was in heaven. And I was so sad to see a lot of the things that were expected and I knew already were going to happen. A lot of people so upset, angry, lost, were so confused as to what was happening because many people all over the world, Christians, were missing. This is going to be a very catastrophic event for people from all over the world. And my heart truly will go out to those who are going to miss their mothers, their fathers, their sisters, and their brothers who were gone. But they are with the Lord. And because of our faith in believing in our Lord and Savior, Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, we will be saved and we will be reunited with our Lord and Savior. The next part of my dream I cannot forget. And I remember hearing the words, which I believe were from the Lord. And it said, "See you at the wedding supper." Then after this, I woke up. I don't believe that I will ever be able to forget this dream because it was so vivid for me and such an amazing experience. And I truly hope that this experience encourages many of you that Yeshua HaMashiach, Jesus Christ, is coming soon. If you can find it in your heart and would like to help and support Cloud Nine Blessings, that would be so greatly appreciated. I am a single parent and do the narrating editing of the videos you are seeing here on the channel. I make videos for brothers and sisters in Christ of their rapture dreams, visions, near-death experiences, and more. Thank you all so much for your support here on the channel, and God bless you all.
The second epistle, beloved, I now write unto you, in both which I stir up your pure minds by way of remembrance, that ye may be mindful of the words which were spoken before by the holy prophets, and of the commandment of us the apostles of the Lord and Savior, knowing this first, that there shall come in the last days scoffers, walking after their own lusts, and saying, "Where is the promise of his coming? For since the fathers fell asleep, all things continue as they were from the beginning of the creation." For this they willingly are ignorant of, that by the word of God the heavens were of old, and the earth standing out of the water and in the water, whereby the world that then was, being overflowed with water, perished. But the heavens and the earth, which are now, by the same word are kept in store, reserved unto fire against the day of judgment and perdition of ungodly men. But, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years as one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night, in the which the heavens shall pass away with a great noise, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat. The earth also, and the works that are therein, shall be burned up. Seeing then that all these things shall be dissolved, what manner of persons ought ye to be in all holy conversation and godliness, looking for and hasting unto the coming of the day of God, wherein the heavens being on fire shall be dissolved, and the elements shall melt with fervent heat? Nevertheless, we, according to his promise, look for new heavens and a new earth, wherein dwelleth righteousness. Wherefore, beloved, seeing that ye look for such things, be diligent, that ye may be found of him in peace, without spot and blameless, and account that the long-suffering of our Lord is salvation, even as our beloved brother Paul, also according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you, as also in all his epistles, speaking in them of these things, in which are some things hard to be understood, which they that are unlearned and unstable rest, as they do also the other scriptures, unto their own destruction. Ye therefore, beloved, seeing ye know these things before, beware lest ye also, being led away with the error of the wicked, fall from your own steadfastness, but grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. To him be glory both now and forever. Amen.
To the Lord's hour, this is your host, Brother Elvi Zapata. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah for this opportunity to be able to come and share his word, his revelation. Thank you, Lord. We know that Jesus is coming for his bride that have made herself ready. I want to pray. Praise you, Lord, before I go ahead and share. There was a few things the Lord showed me last night that I would like to share, and a few other things praise you, Lord, that the Lord have reminded me of also. Praise you, Lord. And I also want to go into his word and share. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Everything that we need to know is in his word. Thank you, Lord. And so praise you, Lord. Lord Jesus, I pray for every life, every family, every home, Lord Jesus, listening to us, Lord, that they and those that will come to listen also, Lord, that they will come under the blood of Jesus, the blood of Messiah, the bloodshed on Calvary, Lord Jesus. Mighty Lord, minister to every life, Lord, according to their need, Lord Jesus. Help them, Lord. Help, Lord Jesus, every life. Heal the sick, Lord. Help every life to seek you, to know you better, Lord Jesus, to come in greater knowledge of you, in Jesus' name, Lord Jesus. Please, mighty Lord, mighty God, mighty Yeshua. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. 7 years ago, praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. The Lord was taking me to heaven almost every week. Praise you, Lord. Sometimes 2 and 3 times a week, the Lord was taking me to heaven and showing me different things. Praise you, Lord. Someone spoke to me about these men of God that were used by God in a supernatural way. Thank you, Jesus. And I said, you know what? The Lord's been taking me to heaven. Brother, I think it was Brother Larry says, Brother Elvie, why didn't you ask the Lord that you will meet these brothers? Because they're in heaven. They are up there. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And so I said, you know, I began to pray and ask the Lord that I wanted to meet one of them in heaven, in the third heaven. And I was taken by the Lord to the third heaven, to this brother's house, who walked in the supernatural of God on earth. Hallelujah. And he was mightily used by Jesus before his time came for him to go to heaven. And I was taken to this beautiful home in the third heaven. Thank you, Jesus. I remember I was taken right in front of the home. The angel just put me there right in front of his home. When his front door was wide open. Mostly every door I see in heaven are wide open. Praise the Lord. If I see one or two closed doors, that's the most I've seen. But almost every home in heaven has their front door open. And so when I was able to see him, he was sitting, and I saw serving him. Angels were serving him. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. And when I came through the door, I was in front of the door, and I asked, may I come in? He says, you may. I've been waiting for you. Praise you, Lord. I've been told, hallelujah, there are things that you want to know. And I say, yes, praise you, Lord. How is it that you were able to walk on earth with the Lord in such a mighty way? Where do you read this in the Bible? He began to talk about the book of Acts to me. So in the book of Acts, you've got the apostle Stephen. The apostle walked in the mighty power of God. He says, when I was reading that on earth, I remember, God began to show me that, as Jesus said, greater things indeed they will do. And he began to search for more of God, and that God will use them in a supernatural way. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. And I was just there listening to him. And he says, you want to know about these things? And I say, yes. Yes. I just have not been able to see much in the Word. He says, it's in his Word. And he will reveal to you more. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. In Ephesians, the book of Ephesians, I believe it's chapter 4. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. The Bible said, hallelujah, that verse 8, therefore he said, when he ascended up high, he led captivity captive and gave gift unto man. Praise the Lord. Jesus took captivity captive So he will impart gifts unto man. Every one of us have gifts. He has given us gifts for his glory. Now, some of us are not walking in those gifts. Some are being used, but not to the fullness of these gifts. And God wants to use us for his glory. He gave it to us, so he will use us. And so in Jesus Christ, we have no excuse because we are free. We were captive at one time without Jesus. But when we receive Jesus in our life as a personal Savior, hallelujah, he made all things new in us, and he made us free. Who the Son set free, the Word of God says, it is free indeed. That indeed implied there is nothing holding you back in God from flowing in your gift. For God to use you for his glory. I thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. It's up to you to seek more of him, to seek that he will use you. Hallelujah. In such a way, we got an example of the Apostle Peter. He was a fisher of fish. That's why that was his job. Jesus said, come and I will make you a fisher of man. Now, he was leading him to use them in his gift, my brothers and sisters. The Apostle Peter, hallelujah, although he became a pastor, he was a great evangelist. Like very few of them were, by the way, and sisters. You see that we got the letters of the Apostle Peter, 1 Peter, 2 Peter, 3 Peter. These letters before the book of Revelations, he lasted, he went to the Romans, and he was still preaching the Bible, the gospel, the good news. And people were coming to the Lord in such a mighty way. He was used mightily with the shadow of Peter. People got healed. I mean, he was walking in the supernatural of his gift. In the fullness of his gift, Peter, the Apostle Peter, was walking. And this is what this man was talking to me about in heaven. That he saw that he read that in the Word, that he wanted to know more about it. Jesus took activity captive. Each and one of us, my brothers and sisters, have these gifts in us. Hallelujah. And if you don't have them, you can ask for them. That's what the Apostle Paul talks to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 2, about the gift of the Spirit, my brothers and sisters. Praise you, Lord. That enables us to be used by God in a supernatural way. Some of you can lay hand on people, and they can be healed. But some of you can pray for food, hallelujah, to appear and it will appear in the fullness of your gift. Jesus prayed for the fish and the bread to be multiplied for 5,000 people. You can also do the same and much more. Now, you're not walking in the fullness of your gift. Praise you, Lord. You don't know if you can pray for these things that they would happen. But after you start seeking the Lord, hallelujah, to reveal these things to you, he will show you where he wants to use you, the gift that he has given to you, and he will be able to use you this way, in a supernatural way. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. You will be stunned right now if God would have taken you to heaven and revealed to you how he can use you on earth right now. You will be stunned to know. You will say, little me, you can use me that way, God? He'll say, yes. But at this moment, you don't have the knowledge, the revelation from the Lord about your gifting or about your gift. So where he can use you this way. So what's the problem? There's no problem. All we have to do is pray and ask. He can reveal it to you through a dream or through a vision, but he can reveal to you how he can use you in the fullness of his gift, and it will be mighty, mighty, in a mighty way. I thank you, Lord. I thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. We are in the last day, right before the sound of the trumpet, my brothers and sisters. Some people, as they have gone home to heaven, have found out in heaven how they could have been used on earth. We don't need to die to go to heaven to find out about these things. We can pray for them down here. This man in heaven was telling me that when he began to see God, he began to see these things in the world, like in the book of Acts, how the apostle were used. And he began to seek for more and to pray that God will reveal him these things. Hallelujah. So God will use him this way in a supernatural way. In his timing, over 200 years ago, God used him mightily in the life of many people. And few men like him have found the same, that God can use them in a supernatural way on earth. Jesus prayed, Father, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. How is in heaven? In heaven, redeeming angels move in the power of God. In the fullness of their gift, they can fly, they can move. They can move in the power of God in a supernatural way. Jesus prayed, Father, let thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Very few people after the apostle of the book of Acts move in such a power of God like Peter. Hallelujah. Have been able to find the knowledge, a revelation from the Lord on their own gifting, that God can use them in the flow of the gifting to flow in the supernatural. I continue to seek for more 7 years ago from the Lord about this. The Lord led me to another brother who God uses him in the supernatural. I saw it with my own eyes up north. He goes to the different country. He goes over the United States. He doesn't travel in taxi, neither walking, neither in plane. He travels in a supernatural way. From the United States to other country, from one state to another state, he traveled in a supernatural way. I met him. I had a conversation with him, and I asked him the same question I asked this man that I met in heaven. How do you find out about this knowledge in the Bible, in the Word? And he began to tell me that with God, all things are possible. So the first thing he told me, first word that came out of his mouth, with God, all things are possible. The Lord can make these things possible in your life. He says, if you seek him, if you ask him, hallelujah, he, as he said in his word, ask, and thou shall receive. I'm there like a disciple, just listening, learning, because I said I would like to be used this way. And he says, I know, because you asked the Lord, and he sent me to speak with you. Praise the Lord. He had another group who he's been sharing the word, who are also moving in the same level that he is, reaching out to people, leading them to the Lord, praying over them, ministering to them, but they're moving in that supernatural. Praise your Lord. Praise your God. At this point, I didn't need it to see or to know anymore. Now it's my turn, our turn to pray, to seek. Because if we do, we will find the church where we are today. We are not even close to our calling. We are not close to the fullness of our gifts, to where God will love to use us in a supernatural way. Praise the Lord. When we go to the word of God, as I just read 1 Ephesians 4:8, therefore he said, when he had ascended on high, he led captivity captive and gave gift unto man. When did this happen? This happened at the cross. When he went to the cross, not only that he forgave our sin, but he also did something else. He led captivity captive. captivity was the devil and his demon and all that. Everything that was holding humanity back from the will of God in heaven being down on earth, from people that have been falling and from people that have been used in a supernatural way. This is why in the book of Acts, my brothers and sisters, we read what the disciple did. Thank you, Jesus. How God used them, my brothers and sisters, in a supernatural way. Praise you, Lord. In a supernatural way, hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Because they, praise you, Lord, believe God. Believe God. The Bible says in Acts 3 that now Peter and John went out together to the temple of the hour of prayer, being in the 9th hour, a certain man lame from his mother's womb was being carried, whom they lay daily at the gate of the temple, which called the Beautiful, to ask aid from those who enter, or aims, or help, or support, or hallelujah, for those who enter. And he seeing Peter and John about to go into the temple and ask for an aim. And Peter, fastening his eye upon him, hallelujah, with John said, look upon us. Look what Peter told this man. That means that Peter was walking in the supernatural on earth already. As a disciple, as the power of God came on his life, Peter was not the same, my brothers and sisters. He was walking in the supernatural of God, in the supernatural power of God. And he gave he unto him, expecting to receive something from him. Then Peter said, silver and gold have I none, but such I have, and I give thee, in the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise up and walk. Here is the first miracle apart from Jesus, my brothers and sisters. After Jesus went home to the Father, the first miracle that Peter and John sees, hallelujah, after they start walking in the supernatural power of God, they see this first miracle. But you read that it was not about silver and gold. It was not about money. When the gospel is turned into money, it's dangerous. It is extremely dangerous. Because it's not about the gift anymore that where we should be walking in. Hallelujah. It's not about walking in the power of God anymore, but it's walking now on finance. People think they need finance for plane tickets, for all these things, for food, for all that. When in reality, how the disciples walk in the supernatural, they had no problem with these things. They had no money, they had no silver, they had no gold, but they were walking in the power of God, and everything else came to pass in their life. God provided the food, everything they needed, because they walked in the supernatural power of God. And in that supernatural power of God, you can pray for food, and if you have little or none, God can, from the none, can make appear, or from the little can multiply. He can multiply. I thank you, Jesus. I thank you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Lord. And I've been praying what to share about this. What can I share? What can I say? I had not shared about that man, I think, once before in heaven. About that other brother twice now, three times. Praise you, Lord. There are things that the Lord has shown me, has revealed that I had not shared. And I've been praying that I can share more. Praise you, Jesus, because I believe we are so close to be going home. Hallelujah. But before we do, there's a revival coming. Revival coming. When that power of God comes upon your life, you need to know what God wants you to do and where he wants you to go. Praise you, Lord. He will lead you to the place, to the people where he wants you to help. Jesus, show me in the mighty vision of the Lord that there are people who is working under life now, that when this power of God comes, a revival, my brothers and sisters, like never before, the last rain, he's going to use them in a supernatural way where I saw them moving from one place to another. And just like Peter and John, they were asking the lame to walk, deaf to hear, the blind to see, right there, and all these things was happening instantly. In front of the multitude, front of other people, and people will marvel and say, wow, what is this power? What is this? But it's the power of God. It is people moving in the supernatural of God coming. It's closer, and we need to have the knowledge. God will prepare us. God will use us for his glory. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We want to be part of this revival. We were chosen for this. A lot of us have been chosen for this revival to be used by the Lord. Jesus spoke to me about these things, my brothers and sisters, about 7 years ago, that there will be people that he will lead and meet, group of people he will have us together, and their brothers and sisters. I saw these brothers and sisters in the revelation of the Lord. I may not remember all the faces now, but he showed me that we will be used in the supernatural before the rapture departure, in a supernatural way in this revival, and where many will come, will be delivered, will be healed, hallelujah, in everything that they will need. We could pray right there, and it will happen instantly under the power of God, because we are going to be led, my brothers and sisters. Praise the Lord. This is the time to pray for this, to be used by God, that we will be used in the fullness of the gift. When this timing comes, my brothers and sisters, in a supernatural way, it's closer every day. My brothers and sisters, I was praying last week about how close we are to all this, and the Lord let me know it's close. He told me 3 weeks from now, 3 weeks ago, praise the Lord, that there will be thousands of people coming to listen to me on the Lord's Hour soon. He said very, very soon as to what he used. Thousands of people will come to listen to your life on the Lord's Hour. Praise you, Lord, because he is going to do things on this earth, especially in the United States, that is going to cause people to listen to him, to seek God, closer to God like never before. Judgment, famine is coming that is going to shake this nation and the world, whether they're going to have to cry out to God, my brothers and sisters, in an urgency like never before. It's coming. It's coming. I have a few prophecies that I'm going to play, dreams and vision from God and giving his prophet. And you see that it confirmed what I'm telling you tonight. Everything is so close, more than ever. Verse 7, hallelujah, Act 3. And he took him by the right hand and lifted him up, and immediately his feet and ankle bones received strength, my brothers and sisters. Things are going to happen immediately. When you move in the power of God this way, things happen immediately. You don't have to wait an hour. You don't have to wait a minute. It happens right there. When you speak the word over someone, hallelujah, no matter what the condition is, and you touch their hand, hallelujah, he took him by the right hand and lifted him up. This is Peter. He took this man there by the right hand. You will also do the same. You will also do the same, and the person will get up. I share that at one time I was fasting and praying that the Lord will use me in the healing. Hallelujah. Power of God. Thank you, Jesus. And I was meditating on this past week, and I was telling the Lord, and I knew it was purpose of the Lord for this, because, hallelujah, as I was speaking to the Lord responded to me when I said, Lord, I remember this woman that has several surgery. I met her in the street. In 5 minutes, as I was speaking to her, I said, may I pray for you? I'm going to lay hand on your shoulder. Hallelujah. Not because I want to touch you, but may I lay hand on your shoulder that I pray that the Lord will heal you. And when I touched her with my finger over her shoulder, instantly the power of God went over her and healed her instantly. She yelled in the street, which I was like, whoa, what's going on? She says, I'm healed. She says, I'm healed. I'm healed. And I said, how do you know? How do you know you're healed? I said to her. She said, the pain that I've been having after the surgery is gone. I don't feel the pain. And she was moving her body. She said, what's gone? I was saying to the Lord this past week, I said, you know, I see many miracles this way. I said, Lord, what's going on? You know, why aren't these miracles? I cannot go around, I said to the Lord, over the different state of those that are listening for me to lay hand on people. They're too far over the country, Lord. I cannot do this. I cannot. Praise the Lord. And the Lord says, hallelujah. They can write to you in a letter Hallelujah. For the sick family, whoever it is, hallelujah, you can use that letter as a point of contact and pray, and I will heal them, the Lord says for me. I will heal them. He's showing his power doing this. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus. I saw his power when he spoke this word to me and showed me that he will use the letters of people that will write to me. And I said, okay, I'm going to tell this to the brothers and sisters. And the Lord God, well, some of you knows my, praise you, Lord, my P.O. box. And I'm going to put it on the chat room again. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. So you can email me with whatever sickness, your family, friend, whoever it is. Okay, I'm going to use that letter. I'm going to lay hand on that letter. Praise you, Lord, for the Lord to heal whoever it is. Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, God. I'm trying to get the information from the website. Praise Jesus. It's the Lord's hour for the address. Thank you, Lord, for those that don't have it. The Lord's hour. Praise you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. And in the P.O. box. Thank you, Lord. I'm not able to copy and paste, so I'm going to have to write it in. P.O. Box 304. Thank you, Jesus. P.O. 4, Hendersonville. Hendersonville. Thank you, Jesus. North Carolina. Praise you, Lord. I'm putting it right on the chat room for people to see. Hallelujah. And they can write me 2A793. 2A793. It's a zip code. Write to me there, praise you, Lord, and I will lay hand. The Lord show me he will heal. He will heal the sick. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I was telling the Lord, I said to the Lord, Lord, I seen, because there was another homeless man also, very dirty. All his clothing was dirty, his face, it's everything. Praise you, Lord. And when I was ministering to him, hallelujah, he was feeling the power of God, hallelujah, touching him. Praise you, Lord. And I said, it happened so quickly. I said, would you like to receive the Lord as a personal Savior? He said, yes, I will. Praise you, Lord. May I pray for you? He said, yes, you may pray for me. And I lay hand on him. Praise you, Lord. He received the Lord. He confessed Jesus right there in the street with me. Hallelujah. And he told me of the pain he had. And I claimed healing right there, and he was healed at that moment. Praise you, Lord. He said he felt the power of God. God healed him right there. And I was telling the Lord about this healing. Praise you, Lord. I want to see this healing. I want to see what I've seen for over 20 years. Praise you, Lord. The Lord healing people in the street, in the nursing home, in the hospital, in church, in the different church. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. I tell you. Thank you. Yes, it's the same address. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. I tell you, the Lord can do this, and he can do this instantly. I've seen for over 20 years this healing. Praise you, Lord. And I'm talking to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord, because I know he can do it. With God, all things are possible. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. We need to walk in the supernatural power of God. We need to see the supernatural power of God at work. People need to see it, my brothers and sisters, because as they see it, hallelujah, in their life, as they see God heal them, whatever it is, my brothers and sisters, they believe, they come closer, they want more of God, they want to know more of God. There's been a lot of youth over the years who has followed us on the Lord's Hour because the power of God has touched them in a special way, and they said, we want more. We want more. They write to me and say, brother, we want more. We have young men from college, from the different college, from the different state who have listened to the Lord's Hour and been touched by God to get in a relationship with the Lord because the power of God has touched their life, their heart. Hallelujah. And they say they want more. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. So you write to me there, right there, to that address, the Lord's Hour, P.O. Box 304, Hendersonville, North Carolina, 28793. Praise you, Lord. And I will lay hand on those names of those people. I will have a box where I will lay hand for these people. Praise you, Lord, for the Lord to heal them. Thank you, Jesus. Because I said, Lord, well, I have to go to a different state or different country to lay hand on people. Because I've seen what the Lord has done. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And I know the timing of the Lord is coming, where God will send us, hallelujah, where I will be moving in a supernatural way over the different state, a different country, to lay hand on people for people to be healed. Hallelujah. It won't happen. Thank you, Jesus. Completely healed. No more pain, no more suffering. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Said that he took him by the hand, and immediately his feet and ankle bone received strength. And leaping up, he stood and walked and entered with them into the temple, walking and limping and praising God. And other people saw him walking and praising God, and they knew that it was he that sat up on the arm at the beautiful gate of the temple. And they were filled with wonder and amazement, which had happened unto him. Thank you, Lord. And as the lame man who had been healed held unto Peter and John, all the people ran together unto them in the porch, which is called the Solomon, greatly wondering. And when Peter saw it, he answered unto the people, ye men of Israel, why marvel ye at this? Why look ye earnestly on us? Although by our own power or holiness, we have made this man walk. No, this is not by our own power, not by our own holiness, but it's by the power of God, by the power of Jesus, my brothers and sisters. Then he says, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, the God of our father, had glorified his son Jesus, who ye delivered up and denied him in the presence of Pilate when he was determined to let him go. Hallelujah. But ye denied the Holy One and the just and desire a murderer to be granted unto you. Hallelujah, and kill the Prince of Life, whom God has raised him from the dead, which we are witness. Jesus Christ is the Prince of Life, my brothers and sisters. He is the one in charge of giving life, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. In his name, through faith in his name, have made this man strong, whom ye see and know. Hallelujah. So what is Peter saying this? Don't try to do this in any other name, but only in the name of Jesus. When you pray for someone, when you lay hand on someone, do it in the name of Jesus. Your gifting, the fullness of your gifting, you're going to flow. God's going to use you in the fullness of your gifting when you do it in the name of Jesus. God will use you. God will heal these people. God will set them free. God is going to do mighty things. Praise you, Lord. Praise you, God. Thank you, Jesus, because everything is for him and for his glory. God gives this gift to you. He imparts these gifts in your life to use you for his glory, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. In his name, the faith in his name have made this man strong, whom you see and know. Yea, the faith which is by him has given him this perfect soundness in the presence of you all. You're going to go through this as you are being led by the Lord to move in the power of God. Thank you, Jesus. My brothers and sisters, I had asked the Lord over and over again, why don't we have thousands of people here? Why there's only a few? And the Lord spoke to me in 2011, going to 2012, before January 23rd, 2012, that's when we opened the Lord's Tower and the year. Before the year opened, the Lord spoke to me in 2011 and said, Jesus visited me, was standing right in front of me. And the Lord said that there will be a few he will send, which he will prepare and use. Hallelujah. He will prepare to go home, but he will use them also. Praise the Lord. And then he started giving me the different vision and revelation of the people. Hallelujah. How he's going to use them. And I saw teenagers. I saw brothers and sisters, young and older, walking in the supernatural power of God. My brothers and sisters. I marvel, I saw a brother and a sister, they must have been in their 60, okay? They were walking together, holding hands. They were moving in the supernatural power of God, my brothers and sisters. I saw it over them, and they were going over the different town of the United States after this judgment. People were broken. People had lost their home, all their money, okay? And practically were going hungry, and I saw these couples. Okay, these brothers, and they will lay hand on them, and whatever they needed was happened right there under the power of God. I saw other young people moving from the United States to Europe, and whatever the need was in Europe, let it be food, They will pray, and these people will have the food. Let it be clothing. They will pray, and these people will have the clothing right there instantly, immediately. My brothers and sisters, hallelujah, people that have their leg turned to another way, like an accident or soldier. I don't know what was the condition. What I knew that they had a bad foot, and the young men will pray for them. And immediately the food got straight and was healed. Praise the Lord. And the Lord started showing me these people, hallelujah, ahead of time, hallelujah, that they will be listeners of the Lord's hour and that they will be used in the supernatural of God. Thank you, Lord. And of course, I had a lot of questions, more and more I wanted to know. How would I know who these people were? Praise the Lord. And of course, I will not, because I have not seen practically anyone here face-to-face, in person. Praise the Lord. My brother Barry, yes, I have, and Sister Brenda, but I have not seen, and Brother Benjamin, but I have not seen everyone. Sister Susan, yes. Hallelujah. Very few I have seen of all the people, or all the thousands of people that have listened to me on the Lord's Hour. Very few I have seen. Praise the Lord, like three or four the most. Four the most that I remember. Praise the Lord. But they will be used by Jesus in the super and the power of God in a supernatural way. I thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Praise you, God, for that. Thank you, Jesus. He will be using you, be show me, in a supernatural way. It's not a coincidence. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. It's not a coincidence that God wants to use you this way, that you're listening and that you're learning from him, and that you're coming in your relationship closer with the Lord, because you have been chosen by him, elected, selected to for him to use you in a supernatural, hallelujah, way. But hallelujah, in this process, we're waiting, we're praying. Thank you, Jesus. We're trusting the Lord that the will of God be done in our will. Praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. It requires prayer. It requires you trusting the Lord and seeking the Lord and coming closer to him. I still have a lot of questions from the Lord, and I keep asking. He would answer me one or two. Some of the questions I have, praise the Lord. He'll confirm some of the things he has told me already. Praise you, Jesus. But I don't know at all neither. Praise you, Lord. I share everything is what he's been revealing to me. Praise you, Lord, because hallelujah. I know that a lot of people that have been waiting on the Lord have a lot of questions and wants to know more. They want to know more, but I don't have the answer for everything. Jesus does. He's at the right hand of the Father. He knows everything, of everything that's going to be unfolded, all the things that are coming. Thank you, Lord. The only thing I know, we are closer to these things to happen than ever before. We are so close. Thank you, Jesus. And when the time comes, thank you, Lord. If you seek the Lord with all your heart and want to know from him to lead you, he will lead you in all this. He will tell you where to go. He'll take you there in such a mighty way. I thank you, Jesus. The disciple began, hallelujah, praise you, God, hallelujah, began to walk in the power of God. Verse 18. But those things which God, this is Peter still speaking, God before has shown by the mouth of all his prophets, that Christ will suffer, hallelujah, and also he will fulfill. You know, when people say not everything is in the Bible, I say they're wrong. I totally disagree with them when they say not everything in the Bible, because Jesus told me everything, hallelujah, pertaining to this life is in his word. It's in his word and the life to come. The Apostle Peter says this, okay, and he has been led by the Spirit at this moment. He is speaking what is being given to him. But of those things which God before has shown by the mouth of all the prophets, he says. All the prophets spoke about Jesus. Some people think that it was only Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, hallelujah. And no, David spoke about Jesus, hallelujah. Praise the Lord. Moses spoke about Jesus. All the prophets. Spoke about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. That the Christ will suffer. From Genesis all the way to the book of Revelation, talked about him. Everything we need to know is in his word. Of course, a lot of people disagree, but look, it's in the word. I'm showing you right now all his prophets, all. So when you hear some preachers leaving some prophet out, they say, oh, this prophet didn't talk about him. All this other prophet didn't talk about him. No, all the prophet spoke about him. Everything is in his word. Thank you, Jesus. Verse 19, same thing he had me teaching on the Lord's Hour. Repent, ye therefore, and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out when the time of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Times of mercy. Times where God, hallelujah, will use us for his glory. Thank you, Lord. And the time, it's so close now than ever. Then he shall send Jesus Christ, who he before was preached unto you, whom heaven must receive unto the time of restitution of all things, which God has spoken by the mouth of all, listen to the word, not a few, of all his holy prophets, since the world began. When did the world begin? In Genesis. The world began in Genesis, my brothers and sisters. All this began in Genesis. That's why when I teach about Genesis, I begin to share with people what God is showing me there. Praise you, Lord. Because everything, when he said, let it be light, that was Jesus. He was calling upon his son to come out into the scene. When he called the light, he called upon his son. And through his son, John 1:1, in the beginning, the word was with God, and the word was God. Hallelujah. He was with God in the beginning. He's been with God in the beginning. Hallelujah. He's spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets. Thank you, Jesus. Look how it's being repeated by Peter. It's being told to the people. This is not a coincidence. It is not just happening in this time. It's that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. Listen to this. It's talking to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord. How is it that the word said that Jesus Christ is the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end? How is it that Jesus is the beginning and the end? Because I began to meditate about Genesis, and I said, but wait a minute. Jesus, how is it that he is the beginning when Adam was the beginning? Adam was the first man. Hallelujah. So I said, how is it that he is the beginning, and how is it that he is the end? Praise you, Lord. Praise you, Jesus. When Adam sinned, Jesus took his place. Hallelujah, as beginning. Jesus made him, but he's fallen. He's out of the garden. Now Jesus stays in that position. Cannot take full of the position of Adam yet. Hallelujah, because Adam passed what he had to the devil, but Jesus is still in position there. Praise you, Lord. Hallelujah. The tree of life is still there in the garden. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. And that's, thank you, Lord. Genesis, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Genesis 2:9, and out of the ground made the Lord God to grow every tree that is pleasant to the sight, hallelujah, good for food, the tree of life also in the midst of the garden, in the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. So the Lord Jesus is still there in place as Adam is falling, and Adam has to be kicked out of the garden. Well, the apostle Paul says to the Roman that Jesus is the second Adam. Second Adam. So he is first, and now he is the second, so that means he is the last Adam, my brothers and sisters. He is the first, and he is the last. Hallelujah. That's why everything is our hope by Christ, by Jesus, because he is the first, he is the last. Adam was moved out. He's fallen into sin. He's kicked out of the garden. So now, because Jesus is the first now, he had the right to take the garden up to heaven. Took the garden up to heaven. Adam has no entering into the garden unless he repent. Now, Jesus is still in the garden as a tree of life there. Thank you, Lord. He's the only giver of life. Hallelujah. So he is first. Now he has to come down. Hallelujah. In order to proclaim, hallelujah, what is his and full authority down on earth, he has to come down and die on the cross. And by the fulfilling of him dying on the cross, Now he is the first and he is the last, my brothers and sisters. He has authority completely from the beginning to the end. He is the beginning. He created everything through him. Everything was created through him, but he is the end. He is the finisher of everything now. Praise the Lord. There's something God's been giving man for free. Hallelujah. For thousands of years, God has been giving humanity the good and the evil for free, the sun. The sun. When the great tribulation began, God is going to cut the power on the sun because the sun will turn into darkness. He cut the power back, and now people, hallelujah, had mercy from Messiah. Hallelujah. Light is seen only to those that repent. Only to those that repent will be able to walk in the light, my brothers and sisters. But the whole earth is in darkness. Darkness. The devil and his demon are taking advantage of the whole earth in the middle of the day is in darkness for 7 years. Jesus Christ is the light, but the only one that will see the light is those that will confess him. Hallelujah. Whoever call upon his name, said Peter, shall be saved. Shall be saved. They are saved when they call upon the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord. The walking is difficult to live during the great tribulation. It's difficult to preach the gospel, to stay safe for the Lord, because now you will have to endure like never before with all the evil that is going around, my brothers and sisters. Praise you, Lord. But Messiah comes at the end of the 7 years. The fullness of light is standing over Jerusalem, over the Mount of Olives, my brothers and sisters. He come over the Mount of Olives. Hallelujah. Now all eyes will see him when he comes. Thank you, Jesus. Everyone is born. Everyone is crying. That's what he has received. Hallelujah. Now, we're so close. Hallelujah. Rabbi said that a heifer, that red animal, like red bull that is red completely without any defect, for years they've been looking for that animal. They found one that had a defect years ago, and they said, I don't know, 30 or 300 of them that they've been going through waiting because it's pointing to the coming of Messiah, the sacrifice. It's pointing to the third temple. Now they have found one, and 30 rabbis have checked it and said, that this heifer is perfect for the sacrifice for the third temple. For hundreds of years, they have not been able to find one perfect. They have found red heifer, but have not remained perfect. Spot had come out. This one, hallelujah, they have checked by 30 rabbis, it is still perfect. Pointing how close it is for the great tribulation to begin. My brothers and sisters, because it's point that where Jacob will go into trouble for 7 years, where the third temple construction is about to begin. Yes, there will be approval coming. Now, right now, Jerusalem is preparing for the war against Iran. Iran, Syria, Egypt, Pakistan, Libya, and all these countries are having meetings on attacking Israel. They've been having a meeting when to begin to attack Israel. My brothers and sisters, this is the Psalm 83 war, brothers and sisters, that David talked about. They have, hallelujah, have come together and form a tamu, a meeting, a group together to attack Israel. That tamu is being formed now like never before. They're sharing military strategy on how to attack the Jewish nation where their leader is defenseless and they finally can welcome over the Holy Land and take over the land of Israel. Netanyahu and the IDF are preparing for the worst right now as we're speaking. Hallelujah. They've been practicing. They've been preparing for the worst. Good things that Donald Trump is in office because he will support Netanyahu, my brothers and sisters. Iran know this. They have said that they don't care anymore. They are trusting in the support of Russia. Someone would say Russia, Ezekiel 38. Russia has been supporting Iran and these nations with weapons and information and so much more that it will help them to overcome Israel. It's sadly to say this. It's sad to hear this, but all these things are unfolding and are happening quickly. And one of these days, it will be on the news that the Psalm 83 war has begun. Everything is so close. Last night, the Lord began to show me how the United States are going to find themselves very soon in a mess that they didn't think possible will come to this land. I saw people running to and fro. Hallelujah. It looks like the 3 days of darkness was upon this land. It was in the middle of the day, but it was dark. And people was running. Hallelujah. People had no peace under the 3 days of darkness. Confused. A lot of people had a lot of questions. What is going on? What caused this? I could hear the media, scientists and all that. Like on television and radio saying, they were trying to figure out why did these 3 days of darkness happen? What caused it? Why were these things happening? And it was like being back in the time of Egypt when the angel up there came into the land and it was darkness. It was evil. These people were being killed. My brothers and sisters, the firstborn was being killed before Pharaoh had no choice to let God's people go. It was all to let God's people go that the angel out there supervised by God Almighty, because God said, I will pass through the land. And it also said the angel out there will pass through the land. And the Lord says, I will pass through the land. So I shared with people many years ago that, yes, the devil who had the power of death was passing through the land, killing the firstborn by the order of God, but God was passing, hallelujah, supervising that the devil would do his work, yes, but not only that he was passing, that he will also protect his people, that the devil would not touch the firstborn because the blood was on the post of the door, and the blood signified the blood of Jesus, and it signified that the devil will have to respect the blood also. And I was seeing that over the United States. The church was being protected supernaturally in this. Supernaturally. Children of God had no fear. I had no fear when these things was happening. But imagine when we go into the 3 days of darkness, how do we explain this to the people? Which was practically on my mind as I was hearing the media with all these questions. Scientists, they had the smarter people on all these channels, and they had all these questions. And no one can explain. They were all giving an idea why there were 3 days of darkness was happening, but they didn't know. They didn't know. They didn't know exactly. And a lot of people were looting. That's one thing God gave me very clear. Hallelujah. We need the bride of Christ, the people of God. We need to be very careful when these judgments are coming, because I saw how they can mislead people, or people can be misled or think that God has forsaken them when this comes, and begin to loot it, to break into people's home, to think that they can get more supply or whatever. And God has been telling us causing his people to speak or telling his people through his prophet to prepare with supply, emergency supplied. We've been told by the Lord to have emergency supply. Why? For years now. And it's because when these days are come, as he was showing me last night, people were going to looting, breaking into other people's homes because it's dark. It's just dark, 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 dark. And all you may have camera or have power, whatever, it's 3 days, for a whole 3 days. And all the 3 days, this darkness that doesn't go away, that cannot be explained by man or the technology or whatever, questions are being asked in the media. Why are we in, they were like in the second day in darkness. The sun should have come out, but it was total pitch black. You know, the power we have is the power that comes from these companies. And we have a problem in the United States that has now been fixed for hundreds of years. Which it happens in some of the summer, hotter summer of the year, when everybody runs their AC, everybody runs their power, they begin to have power shutdown or power breakdown, power plant breakdowns, because there's not enough power to power everyone when these things happen. And so that's what began to happen, because I looked up some cities and they have blacked out because everybody wanted to turn on their power, and I don't know if people had turned on their AC, okay, because it didn't look to me that we were in winter, though. Hallelujah. And I'm not sure if we could. It's just total darkness. Hallelujah. Yes, don't leave your home. When this happened, don't leave your home. And if they blame it into a comet or anything else, don't worry about what the scientists are saying. They're going to be guessing. Because I heard them guessing. I heard them saying things that made no sense. Okay? They were talking about things in the media that made no sense to me. It was not biblical. They were trying to make sense of what was happening. That for 3 days, the world was in darkness. Okay? And I could sense in the spirit that this is so close now. Very, very close. It's an event that is about to happen. Okay? And I don't think you can see the stars, though. I don't think so. It's just pitch black. Pitch black. And the Jewish people went through this. The people in Asia went through it. When the angel out there went through the land, it was pitch black. You could see nothing. Okay? And it's going to happen again. And it meant that they were living the land of Egypt. Okay? And it meant that the rapture is about to, the departure is about to happen. The bride is about to leave the earth. That there's a supernatural power that's going to come on the bride when this happens. But what a sense of looting I had a very strong. As the Lord was showing me, people looting for meaningless things. You know, it made no sense. It just made no sense to me. Why people were stealing. And, you know, you think about it, had no shopping. You know, the fridge is empty. You have ate the food and maybe in the first or second day. Now they're desperate. They don't know how long this darkness is going to last. It's only 3 days. But, you know, they can think it's going to last a week or a month or a year. They don't know. And the fear on people is the worst. The fear that will come on people is the worst, especially on those that are not saved, don't have a relationship with God. Okay? The fear that's going to come upon them is going to turn them crazy and to do crazy things. But I remember that the Lord spoke to me one time and says, show me in a vision. I saw Jesus when these things began to happen, and he was walking in front of me years ago. And Jesus said, when you see these things happen, do not come out of your house, he said to me. Do not come out of your house. You know, when he showed this to me, I didn't own a home yet. I was renting an apartment back in Massachusetts when Jesus was showing this and speaking to me about this. I did not own a home like I do today. I own a home today. And he showed me, do not come out of your house when this is happening. I did not own this house. Okay, he's talking about 7 years before I bought this house. He was talking to me about this. He said, when you see this coming, do not leave your house. Well, I own a house today this year. Okay, praise you. Last year, I bought it last year to this year. But what I'm saying is, he was talking to me about a house that I will have 8 years, practically almost 8 years after. And I know we are close to this point. Of the 3 days of darkness, I have heard word from God has spoken to some of these other prophets that the 3 days of darkness are close, almost upon the land, he has said. And yes, they are close. They are really close. I saw it last night, and I saw the craziness that people were doing, looting and doing whatever they could up there, chasing people and you know, robbing people. They didn't care because, you know, they didn't know. No one knew the outcome. And the police were chasing people. You know, but there's not much the police can do also. You got millions of people in the cities. And these millions of people, everyone is under darkness. They're chasing them with a car, with a flashlight or whatever, but it's just too dark. It's too dark. It's like the flashes are not that good. It's like a special darkness that's over the land. I can't explain how it's going to be, but when people find themselves in this darkness, they're going to begin to wonder, what in the world is this? We've seen darkness, but this is evil. This is not good. But we, the bride of Christ, we have peace. We have peace. Okay? And I heard that we will have peace in the midst of this, not to be worried, not to be scared, not to be concerned. I heard the voice says to me, tell them not to be scared, not to be worried, not to be concerned. I will keep mine in this. I will keep mine in this. Mine will have peace, he says to me. And before he showed this to me, he says, mine, he spoke to me and says, tell them not to be worried, not to be concerned, because mine will have peace during this time. I will keep them. They don't need to worry. They don't need to be afraid. That was the first word he gave me before he showed me. And then when he showed me, praise the Lord, I was stunned. I was stunned. Praise the Lord. I cannot point to the day or the year when this is happening, but this is close. I felt in the spirit that this is so close like never before. Never before. And I don't think there will be a time that this is closer than what it is today. My brothers and sisters, there's 3 days of darkness. There is a change coming. I heard from someone, there is a day from a prophet, a change. God says, a change is coming upon the land, upon the earth. A change is coming. This is about to begin. It's about to happen. We don't need to fear. We don't need to be afraid. We need to keep repenting. We need to keep repenting. Very important. We keep repenting. We keep confessing our sins before the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Lord, if I says anything that's not of you, I'm so sorry, Lord Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Because I'm repeating, as I repeat what someone else says, I should stay with what the Lord said to me. Praise you, Lord. Amen. But he says for people not to fear, not to be afraid. Thank you, Lord. But it's coming. The 3 days of darkness are coming. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Verse 22, for Moses truly said unto the fathers, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise unto you from your brethren like unto me. Him shall ye hear in all things whatsoever he shall say unto you. So when it's regard to Jesus, we shall hear everything he has to say. A lot of people pick and choose. No, no. When he's saying something to us, we have to hear. Look what Moses said. Moses said, truly said unto the fathers, everyone, the fathers, everyone who was listening, a prophet shall the Lord your God raise unto you from your brethren, from among you, like unto me. Him, talking about Messiah, talking about Jesus, him shall ye hear, you will hear, and all things, people choose what they want to hear now. We got to hear him in all things. Whatsoever he shall say unto you, everything he said in his word for us to hear, for us to listen, for us to obey, we have to hear what he says in his word. Hallelujah. Verse 23, and it shall come to pass that in every soul who will not hear the prophet shall be destroyed from among the people. This he said under the law. Under the law. We're under grace. But God said he will destroy. Which practically what is being said to us in the book of John. That he that will not believe shall perish. Him that will not believe in him shall perish. That is John chapter 3. Talking about Messiah. That whosoever don't believe, thank you, Lord. Give me a second. Thank you, Jesus. I'll be back after praise you, Lord. No. Play this. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah.
There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain, break every chain. There's power in the name of Jesus. There's power in the name of Jesus. Break every chain, break every chain.
Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Yeshua. Thank you, Jehoshua. Praise you, Lord. So him should we hear what he has to say in his word for us. Thank you, Lord. Because then when we hear, when we listen, hallelujah, then we'll be in obedience. We're submitting to his will. We're seeking that his will be done and not our will be done. Praise you, Lord. And he will keep us and will protect us. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Very important. Very important, hallelujah. Verse 24, yea, all the prophets from Samuel. We are very specific, from Samuel. Those who follow after, as many as spoken, have likewise foretold of these days. Amen. All the prophets have spoken about Messiah, spoken about Jesus, but also have spoken about these days that you and I are in today. All the prophets has spoken. I read a few weeks ago, back in the book of Numbers, I believe it was, in Deuteronomy, talking about the last day, things that will come to pass in the last day. Well, we're in the last day, and whatever happens in the beginning, Solomon says, in Ecclesiastes, what happened again? There's nothing new under the sun when he said that. So things will be repeated again. What happened for God's people to be released from Egypt? With the firstborn died, well, that same type of judgment is coming upon the earth. Amen. And praise you, Lord. The first fruit of the believer will be taken out of here. Praise you, Lord. Afterward, praise you, Jesus. Because the next day after the firstborn, that's when they were released. They had a whole day to move out. Okay. All the women and children and all that, the Egyptians were giving them the blessing that they would need for the way out of Egypt. Yeah, but the whole day they were moving out. We have but a short time after the 3 days, because after the 3 days of darkness, the bride of Christ gets empowered by God to be used in a supernatural way. Jesus showed this to me. Not last night, but before, that after the 3 days of darkness, when he showed me, I was in Massachusetts many years ago, showed me about 5 years ago that after the 3 days of darkness, the bright, the power of God come upon them. He also did show me, I remember now, that this darkness is a supernatural darkness. Supernatural darkness. Okay? That God's going to cause this to happen. And that's where the bride gets empowered by God in a supernatural way and will be flowed and will be used by God. This is about to happen, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. All this is about to happen. Praise you, Lord. So he says, like, from the prophet, from Samuel, those that follow after, as many have spoken, like, why forestall of these days? Ye are the children of the prophet in the covenant with God, may with our father, saying unto Abraham, and that thy seed and all thy kindred and all the earth are be blessed. And unto you first, God having raised up his son, Jesus, saying him to bless you and turning every one of you away from iniquity. Amen to that. Praise the Lord. So the apostle Peter is speaking the word of the things that God has said and God has done and has spoken to the prophet. And at the same time, the power of God is supernaturally over his life to be used, thank you, Lord, to heal this man and for these thousands of people to hear and believe. Hallelujah. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. In chapter 4, verse 8, then Peter, filled with the Holy Ghost, said unto them, ye ruler of the people, the elder of Israel, if we this day are examining about the good deed done to the infirm man, hallelujah, and by this means he is made whole, praise you, Lord. And I know unto you that all this people of Israel, that the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, whom ye crucified, whom God raised him from the dead, even by him that this man stand before you whole, praise you, Jesus. This is the stone which was set enough by you, the builder, which have become the head of the corner. Amen. Neither there is salvation in any other, but there is none other name under the heaven given by men whereby we must be saved. Praise you, Lord. But by the name of Jesus, that is the name. Hallelujah. And so he kept giving an answer over the elder and testified of what God had done, my brothers and sisters. And this is the time when they get hold of Peter and they throw him in jail and with God sends an angel to release him. But when all this is happening, the church is praying, my brothers and sisters. And the power of God came out then in a supernatural way, because the place where that happens, it shook. The ground shook. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, God. It shook because there was so much power upon these people. And the power of God that they were walking, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And then we see that in verse 5 that, hallelujah, when they started selling the land to give it to the apostle, put it at the feet of the apostle, the Bible said, that a certain man, Ananias and his wife, sold the possession. And so they decided to keep the money that they had promised that they would give, and they ended up dying. They ended up dying. Peter said to him, to his wife, hallelujah, it was about the space of 3 hours later when his wife, not knowing that this was done, came in, and Peter said unto her, tell me whether you sold the land for so much. And she said, yea, for so much. And Peter said unto her, how is it ye have agreed together to attend the Spirit of the Lord, to tend the Spirit of the Lord, beheld this, the feet of those who have buried thy husband are at the door to carry thee out. So she was also out to be buried. She was killed. She died at that moment, my brothers and sisters. And fear came upon the church, upon many that heard these things. Fear came upon them because they saw the power of God. Things were just happening immediately because they were walking. And the Bible says, verse 2, by the hand of the apostle were many signs and wonders brought among the people. They were all with one accord in the Solomon porch, the same place where this man got healed under the mighty supernatural power of God. These men also, the supernatural power of God was among them, my brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. And people were magnifying God, were worshiping God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. And the Bible said, verse 16, that they came also a multitude out of the city around about unto Jerusalem, bringing the sick folks, those who were vexed with unclean spirit, and they will heal everyone. All these things was happening immediately. Immediately, my brothers and sisters. As the same as the healing of this man, because the supernatural power of God was upon the apostle. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. It's just everything we need to know is in his word. And when we really careful, my brothers and sisters, then the priest and all them rise against Peter and them. And then Peter said, verse 29, then Peter and the other apostle answered and said, are we out to obey God rather than man? Answering back to them, praise you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. He was still on that supernatural power of God. And then, hallelujah, they hallelujah, they arrested Peter, I believe it's in this one, hallelujah. And with him they agreed when they had called, this is verse 40, apostle back, had beaten them and commanded them that they should not speak in the name of Jesus, let go. That they were being beaten, where they, you know, this beating, they would have had to go home and rest. No, they continue under the power of God, brothers and sisters. They departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were come worthy to suffer for the shame. Hallelujah. It was like the beating that they given them, they did not felt hardly anything, or they not felt anything, because they went out of there rejoicing. who in a being by these strong men, and they will beat people severely. You saw how they beat in Jesus before they crucify him, how the part of his flesh was taken out. These men was being in the, practically in the same fashion, okay? It was worse to the Lord, and we know that, but they were being by these soldiers, and they're coming out of that rejoicing. They were still under the supernatural power of God. That's what it was. Hallelujah. And daily in the temple, every house, they cease not to preach the Jesus Christ. They cease not. It was like they didn't have to rest because the power of God was on them, brothers and sisters. Hallelujah. And then in those days, verse 6, when the number of the disciples multiplied, they rose, hallelujah, murmuring against the Grecian and Greeks and the Hebrew because the widow was rejected in the daily ministration. And then they had to choose men to help out the widows and all them to be able to praise the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. They were walking in the supernatural power of God. And then in the last verse of 6 says, and all who sat on the council looking steadfast on him saw his face out as it was the face of an angel. Why did he look? I saw an angel in heaven last week, and he had the full power of God all over him. He shined. He shined like a powerful light was going through him up and down with the power of Father on him, the Father, the power of God. These men, the Bible says in verse 15 that they look like angels. His face looked like an angel. The power of God, the supernatural power of God was on these men, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus. Praise you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. And then we got Stephen in chapter 7, another apostle, preaching the gospel, and where he was stoned, my brothers and sisters. He was stoned in front of all of them. He looked up. He saw Jesus Christ sitting at the right hand of the Father. Thank you, Jesus. But before he saw this, the Bible said, verse 59, Stephen, he called upon God and said, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, charge not this sin against them. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Hallelujah. But verse 56 says, and he said, behold, I see heavens open and the Son of Man standing at the right hand of God. What is this? It was like they could see heaven, hallelujah, from earth clearly without a problem because they were walking in the supernatural power of God. When Jesus showed me this revival that is coming, Jesus was walking among us, and people for the first time were beginning to see Jesus. Their eyes was open to see the Lord. As the two brothers in the 60 were laying hands on people, being healed instantly and providing insulin to them, Jesus, they opened their eyes, they looked in the forward and they saw Jesus. And Jesus waved to them, and they began to praise him. I saw some of my brothers and sisters raised their hand and began to praise Jesus when they saw him. He was a man, like a man in front of them. He's God, but he's like a man. And he was in front of people, and people marvel when they saw the Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Those days are coming. They're going to see Messiah Jesus. Praise the Lord. As just as the disciples saw him, hallelujah, my brothers and sisters are going, hallelujah, to see Messiah again, to see the Lord again. Thank you, Jesus. And in verse 8, they continue to preach, hallelujah, verse 10, to whom they are giving heaven heed, from the least to the greatest, saying, this man, hallelujah, this man is great with the power of God. This is exactly what we're talking about, the power of God upon our life like never before. Even more powerful than the days of the book of Acts, the days of the church, the days of the apostle. There is verse 10, chapter 8, verse 10, to whom they all give heed from the least to the greatest, saying, this man is great with the power of God. It's coming again, this revival. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. This revival is coming. It is coming. It is coming. God is going to move on this earth. Thank you, Jesus. God's going to move on this earth in a supernatural way. As he did with the disciple, he's going to do with his bride again, my brothers and sisters. Thank you, Jesus. We are not to worry. Not